You are the rock.
Hi, this is Team CST, Connecting Spirit Together, and I'm your host, Mercedes Lucky. Thank you for listening. It is a great joy, as always, to be on the air every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. on bbsradio.com. And I have with me a lady I actually met this week, and her name is Libby Wright, and she is with the Giving Tree Outreach Program. Libby, thank you so much for joining us today.
It is my pleasure.
Well, I wanted to have Libby on because, for those that listen to Team CST, Connecting Spirit Together, this show is a show about helping people to help themselves. I myself have dealt with abuse and, you know, mental illness, bipolar disorder, in other words. So I've gone through quite a lot of things, and I've had a lot of help from a lot of wonderful people. And so what I do, Libby, is I bring on the people that have helped me, because I know for sure that it works, what they've helped me with, or I wouldn't, you know, even be able to be, I wouldn't even be alive right now, or would I? Probably, I wouldn't even be able to do the show. So I'm really blessed by God and all these wonderful angels He brings me. And so when I met you this week, I was really taken by this, your particular thing that you do with the children. Can you tell us about the outreach program?
Well, we figured out a way to do, and I guess provide for people that normally are left by the wayside. And what we did was we figured out that if you take out the government funding and all their nonsensical kind of rules. Some make sense, fire and safety stuff does, but what we did was we found a lot of people who really weren't just lazy people that didn't want to get a job, not the ones that are standing on street corners saying we'll work for food when they won't. They were genuinely homeless people who just needed help. They needed to get on a path where they could get the help they needed and be surrounded by people who care. And it started out with elderly people. Well, a lot of them were taken advantage by their family members, and or, you know, they lost a spouse and lost their home, couldn't keep up the payments, couldn't keep up the utilities. And then we go back to go see them because I was a case manager. And now they have their grandkids living with them because one of their children died or went to prison or something. And then they were left with this huge responsibility of raising grandchildren when they couldn't even afford their own needs. So it grew and grew and grew and grew, and now we provide food for about a meal, provide a meal for about 2,000. But we have 7 homes now in Tucson, Arizona, and we never have enough room. We could just fill up 100 homes probably in the next couple weeks, and we're just trying to make a difference. But we don't just leave them where we found them. Even when they come into one of our homes or our shelters, they have a case plan to complete so that they can be all that God's called them to be. And we see a lot of incredible changes in people. Their lives change immensely when somebody cares.
Wow. Who, Libby, how long have you been with the Giving Tree?
For 20 years.
You've been with them for 20 years?
I've been the director for 20 years. We don't believe in paying the people up at the top. So I've been a volunteer director for 20 years. I'm also the counselor, so I provide a lot of the counseling for our clients who are in between. Maybe they don't have health insurance to pay to get behavioral health services. So we provide that with our case management team. We have an incredible, oh my gosh, we have incredible people. Every person who runs one of our homes or our shelter came in as a client and now has moved up to supervisor.
Oh, they came in as a homeless person?
Mm-hmm. Or a needy person, maybe they came
needy
for food.
Or
one of the ladies has been with us for, I think, 13, 14 years. She was raising other people's children that were dumped on her doorstep. She wasn't even related to them, but she knew a neighbor who couldn't take care of her kids, and she'd just leave them with her. And she came to get a food box because she couldn't afford to pay for the food for her and for these kids. And she came for a food box, and she never left. She's been helping us. Her name's Sylvia. She's really incredible. And she is 65 years old and probably puts in about 40 to 60 hours a week as a volunteer. Oh, we have one. We have a lady who's 85 who does the majority of the cooking for our feeding program that we feed about, let's see, probably close to 700 a week at this particular feeding program called Project Feed, Feed Everyone Every Day.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, from the cooks in the kitchen to the supervisors, all those people came in.
Are they all volunteer
people? They are. They are.
Wow.
We have a benevolence fund, and we try to use it to help the people, all different kinds of people, but certainly the people that are in supervisory capacity. And it may mean something like just giving them a break from the home when you're doing it 24/7. It's a really huge thing. Or from the shelter, you know, just say, here's vouchers because we get gift certificates donated. So here's a gift certificate to go to dinner and a movie just to get away from it all and get some cinema therapy. And it works.
That's really awesome. I'm curious, are there other outreach programs, because this radio station does across the country, is this one of a kind, or do you have several, you know, are they all over in different states, or how does that work?
anybody is listening nationwide, or you said it goes to Canada as well,
mm-hmm.
I am actually from Labrador, Canada, up by Greenland, and I really love the fact that we're able to go back to Labrador and provide a small little program there, nothing like what we have down here. And also we work with the children who live at the dump in Nogales, Sonora, Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the three main ones that we have going. But anybody listening nationwide, it is so easy to start a branch of the Giving Tree where you live. All you have to do is get really committed people. Well, first you have to have the vision, and
mm-hmm.
you share it with other people. And before you know it, what we did was we turned a parking lot into a feeding program. And the people will come to help, because a lot of people, I'd say 50% of our volunteers, used to be clients. And they never forget who helped them when they were down and out.
You know, that's so true. That is so beautifully said. So, because I am doing this particular thing myself because I can never forget and never give back enough for the people that have helped me. And so I truly understand what you're saying. And I just say bless you for being with this program. And hopefully, let's give out your number and your website right now. Would you do that for us?
Our website's easy. It's The Giving Tree, which is the name of our organization, thegivingtreeoutreach.org. And our phone number is area code 520-320, and it spells KIDS, K-I-D-S, 5437. So 520-320-5437.
And I'm going to give out the number for the radio station in case anyone does happen to have a question for Libby. It is 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227. And, of course, that is on your screen on the BBS radio station. So, you know, it's right there for you, and the Canada number. What I'm curious, I know that you, it's a lot about children, homeless children. Now, is it a focus on children, or is it a focus on family, or the whole thing, just everybody?
Well, our primary focus was the children. That was first.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more than 1,358,000 homeless children in the United States.
God, that's
now, I'm
going to
say that again. 1,358,000 homeless children in the United States. But do you ever see shows on TV saying help the homeless children in America?
No, you don't.
Right. Because nobody wants to recognize the fact that it's true. Just in our county alone, Pima County, there are 2,100 homeless children.
Oh.
Now, the elderly have a hard time fending for themselves, the disabled, and the children. So there's a lot of people who want to help stop the whole idea of homelessness and give everybody a roof. We're part of that. You know, I mean, that's the very least we can do. And some of the kids that we have, their parents have died. Majority is either drug overdose or cancer or hepatitis or AIDS. But we have a lot of single-parent families. We have, as far as I know, this is what we've been told, we have the only home for single fathers with children. And if any of you saw the movie In Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith, you can realize that sometimes it's the men who are the good guys. And the women take off, you know, where the women are doing drugs. And there are even websites designed by single fathers saying, help, help, you know, or we provide, you know, help and support, because there are some incredible fathers with very young children. We have one father had 5 children under the age of 8.
Mm.
And he made it. He has his own place now, but when he came to us, he was in school full time, to be a paralegal, and his wife was messing up, and he just took the kids one day and said, if we have to live in a car, whatever we have to do, it's going to be safer than what we're living in now. And so he took his children and brought them to us, and I said, okay, you have three jobs in school, so you have to quit two jobs, work one job, take care of your children, and let us help you with your children. You need to concentrate on your education. So after 1 year, he just needed a year left. That's all he had left. And after a year, he was able to move out. He graduated, got a great job in a law firm, and moved forward and has his own place with his children.
Oh, that is so, so incredible. I mean, just think, if had he not come there, what might have happened? I mean, what if this place wasn't
around?
Well,
his lights have been, his electricity had been shut off, and his gas had been shut off. The last utility that he had on was water, and he said, if the water gets shut off, that's it, I'm going to quit school. But, I mean, he would actually study before he came to us with candles at nighttime. So, I mean, he was a pretty incredible man, but there's a lot of very strong people who just need a help to get from point A to point B so that they can get to C and succeed. You know, they just need a little bit of help. I myself was homeless, a single mom at the time with a little baby. That was, let's say, 25 years ago. And so I stood in lines. I lived in Los Angeles. I stood in lines for food, for clothes, for baby stuff, everything I needed. And I just said, oh, if I ever get to a point where I can give back, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to do it this way, and I'm not going to do it this way, and I'm going to treat people better, and I'm going to have a different way of doing it. And so I've had to eat every word I ever said.
Sometimes we don't realize, I mean, so many people just don't realize. I myself, when right before a lot of crises during the abuse I was going through, there was a point where I couldn't, I was having anxiety attacks, and I was in school. I had to stop my school within a month of graduating. I couldn't pay my rent anymore. I was on the verge. I mean, I was literally on the verge of homelessness. I was homeless for 5 days. And let me tell you, I mean, it's so scary. And, you know, here I had, you know, I was going, I've always had a home, and then I, you know, the more the abuse hit me, the more that took me down. I mean, I couldn't do my school. So, you know, and that's what I went with. I'm a massage therapist. So, you know, I was about to lose it all. And then luckily so I understand what it's like to be homeless. I understand what it's like to have nothing. And then, you know, I had the grace of God. Someone stepped in and said, come meet this lady. And I met her and we got along, and she was looking for a roommate. And since then, my life has turned around to where I'm a cranial sacral therapist, a massage therapist. I have my, you know, but it was certain people. Had they not come in, or I know God came in and brought them to me, but, you know, I don't know where I would be right now. And so that's me too. I just want to give back, and I want to have, that's where this show, I've done radio for a lot, and that's what I can do. I can do this good. And so, I mean, I know how to do this, so I can bring on people as yourself. It's like, so God kind of told me, you got to do this and bring on people and bring awareness to people, because who in the world knew that there were that many little baby homeless children out there in our country? You know, I mean, where do they go? What are they, just on the street, you know?
Well, you know, if you took all the homeless people nationwide and stirred them all up and wanted to come up with the average age of a homeless person, What do you think it would be? What do you think that age would be?
Well, from what I see around, I would say 40.
Okay, that's what most people think. It's 9 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
The average age of a homeless person is 9 years old. And the face of homelessness has changed so much in this past year. We are seeing, and many of the organizations and agencies are seeing, families that have never been homeless. They've never been poor.
Mm-hmm.
They lived in homes, just like regular houses all across the nation, you know, regular
mm-hmm.
neighborhoods and so forth. And they were foreclosed on. There's a lot of reverse mortgage scamming. 47% of all the predatory lending practices went against single women, older women. So it's not because they were dumb. It was because they were desperate, and desperate people do desperate things, and they thought
and
they
what
had
And what is it they do?
The predatory lending practices. That's the payday loan people and the, they get people to sign a reverse mortgage on their home, and the people lose their home. But they're thinking, well, I don't have any utilities on, and I need some help, and someone comes along, or someone tells somebody about this person that really is great and will help them, and they just help themselves. So
oh,
the people
no.
end up losing their homes. About 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, we had a woman who worked for the school district for 23 years. Now, her daughter died. She inherited three children. She owned her home free and clear, but because the state subsidy didn't kick in yet for the adoption process and all that stuff, the health insurance and everything, she ended up taking out a mortgage against her home. And by the time the fees and all that stuff, the late fees, all that sort of thing, she ended up losing her home. Now here she comes. She's got a college degree. She's raised her children. Now she's got her grandchildren and no place to live.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is, I'm telling you, an everyday occurrence that someone walks through our door, that even after doing this, and I did it in Los Angeles as well, I am shocked because for many years, the poor people that we dealt with were people who came from poverty. Most homeless adults were homeless as children sometime in their life.
Yeah.
So if you see those people as God sees them, as children that He created, then you'll know that if it's like a diamond in the rough, you peel off all that stuff and clean it all up, and man, they can really sparkle and shine. I see people, they come in and we have showers and everything, and we even have some people come in and volunteer to cut hair and so forth, and you have to do a double and triple take because you can't believe it's the same person.
Mm-hmm.
Once they get shaved and a haircut and a shower and clean clothes, they could be your next door neighbor. And a lot of them were your next door neighbors.
They're not all
drug addicts and mentally ill people. I mean, you can be homeless for so many different reasons.
I have another person I want to have on the show, and that's about the veterans. And I was shocked to know that there are so many veterans out there, young, old, all the, there's so many homeless veterans, and nobody knows about it, basically, but that these people help them. And
well, I'd like to share this with you. On the cover of our brochure, which if anybody goes to our website, they can see this child. Her father was in Desert Storm and had his legs blown off. And when he came back, he went into the VA hospital and was getting great care and everything, but his check, somehow when they moved, it didn't go where they needed it to go because they had to keep moving. They had to keep moving because they didn't have it. They had four children in that family, and they showed up at our feeding program. He was at the VA hospital. They had been evicted. because they didn't get a check on time. They ended up in a motel. When they found out that there were four children and an adult in the room, they said this is too many children in one room, too many bodies. And so they said, you have to leave. So she had nowhere to go. And so she really wanted to stay with her husband at the hospital. And we helped to make that possible by taking her children. And it was about probably 3 or 4 months that we had them. And then we had them off and on as they were getting on their feet, so to speak. And they ended up getting a place, and he got his back pay on his benefits and all that. But it was for a whole year that they were so unstable. But now they're fine. They have a house that they got with the GI Bill, and, you know, I mean, they're fine now. But it took a long time to get to that point. Seemed like forever for them when they're going through it.
We owe that to our...
We have veterans that are coming in inside a grocery cart because they don't have legs. And so because they're... And, you know, people can say, well, they can get that. Yeah, they can get it, but they've got to get in line and wait. And in the meantime... Like this one guy, he was dumped out of his wheelchair because somebody stole his wheelchair. And these people are very vulnerable when they're out on the street. And, you know, they served our country. The least we can do is provide safe housing and food for them.
Oh, my goodness. This is, wow. So, how do you, at the beginning, you were talking about getting away from some of the government, you know, all the restrictions and things that they do, which makes it so complicated. So how do you do that? Do you use mainly donations from people or funding?
We depend on private donations, some grants, but the mainstay of the Giving Tree for all these years has been the private person who makes a contribution. We have 7 homes because 2 couples just...
Are you there? Okay, it looks like we lost Libby. Libby? Okay, we're going to probably try to have to catch Libby again. So while we're doing that, I'm going to go ahead and give out until she comes back. Hopefully she'll come back. Libby Wright works for the Giving Tree Outreach Program, and that's helping homeless, needy children. And their phone number, and they're in Tucson, Arizona, their telephone number is 520-320-5437. Again, that's 520-320-5437. And I'm going to call out Seth. Seth, have we, he's our producer. Have we lost Libby? Can we get her back? Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and continue on with this. I'm going to read a little bit about the Giving Tree. The Giving Tree's Project Feed provides meals, emergency food boxes, and clothing. And they do all this here in Tucson. So she did say that there are other ones in Nogales and different places. And they also provide shelter at Grace Home for the children that are homeless or in crisis. And basically what is happening is there are all these children and all these people out here, and they don't have a place to live. And so, like what we were trying to say, is that sometimes when we look at a homeless person and say, for instance, you have, you know, never had, you know, poverty. You've never experienced that type of, you know, thing, which a lot of people haven't. A lot of people have. You don't look at them. Sometimes you look at them like they're all drug addicts or whatever like that. So what we're trying to express here is that, especially right now in this day and age, with the
homelessness and the economy, how many people have lost jobs, that these organizations are so important. And so if there's anyone out there that feels the need right now as we're talking, or I'm talking, you know, sometimes all it takes is a voice of another voice to hear and say, you know what, that is something that we could do in our community, because there's homeless people everywhere now. If you've heard of the, I heard recently of the tent city where people, you know, regular businessmen and women have lost their homes and lost everything. And so they took a plot of ground and they are building, they're putting up tents, and they are living that way in tents. I don't know where it is, but I just recently heard of it, and it's just the way it's happening. I mean, like, how many houses she said she had? What, 7 to 10 houses? How big are those houses? I mean, how many people can they hold? That's not a lot of houses. So what I'm trying to say is if there's anybody out there that feels the need to try to look into this for their community, then maybe it's worth calling or looking up the GivingTreeOutreach.org program, or calling again. The number is in, it's Tucson, Arizona, 520-320-5430. And hopefully some of you will call and some of you will be interested in doing that. I'm going to give out the phone number for here for the U.S. nationwide number. It's 877-876-5227. Again, that's 877-876-5227. We're still having a problem with Libby, which is sad. I'm very sad. I'm hoping she'll come back. She had a lot of important things to say. So hopefully BBS Radio is trying to catch her. I want to give out my website, too. My name is, again, Mercedes Lucky. So it's spelled MercedesLucky.com. And my email is the same, MercedesLucky@yahoo.com. And I myself am interested in hearing from the audience. I've been doing this show for a little while now, not a long time, but a little while, and I've heard from a few people out there, and I've heard really good thoughts about the show, and I feel as if it's time now for the show to take a different direction. So that's why I'm bringing on guests like Libby, because I went into the community and I found the committees, and I joined some, and as far as drug abuse, alcohol abuse on teenagers, homeless and battered women, or battered women in shelters. And so these are the programs I'm going to take you in. I'm going to take you into the lives of these people. I myself was battered and beaten and stayed in a bad relationship. Are we back?
Yeah.
Libby, yay. I was trying to talk through.
Thank you. You did a great job.
Well, I was just trying to say that this is why I brought you on, is because this is the new, I want to take Team CST into a different venue. I want awareness of communities, and this is happening in all the communities. Drug abuse with children and alcohol and homelessness. And what I'm curious about as I was talking, I was wondering, okay, you have 7 to 10 homes.
We have 7
right?
homes.
Okay, so how big are the homes? I mean, how many do they house?
Not big enough, which is why I'm very thankful to, we actually were chosen by Home Depot last, I don't know if I can say that, but anyway, we were chosen in a total, like, extreme remodel. And they are remodeling four of our homes and actually adding three bedrooms to one of the homes. And that's taking place, well, it's already started, and it'll, we'll have the big finale on April 11th. But I wanted to tell you that our website is thegivingtreeoutreach.org.
Oh, okay.
It's really important, because otherwise you'll go to a million other Giving Tree sites.
Oh, okay. GivingTreeOutreach.org.
So okay. the homes that we have are small. They're too small, but we make use of every room to the capacity. We have like two sets of bunk beds at least in each room. Some of the bigger rooms have more than that, but we still live in a family style. Every one of our homes are intergenerational. So we range from 101 down to little teeny babies. And so you take, like, for instance, our single dad. He has an opportunity to work late, which is good because then he can earn some extra income. So he calls up and says, okay, Granny or Nanny or Nana or whoever, Aunt Betty, who's ever answering the phone, I have an opportunity to work late, which we verify. And then Grandma says, okay, that's fine. I'll go ahead and start dinner then, and I'll make sure that the kids do the homework.
Wow.
So it's like an old-fashioned family where Grandma lived with the kids or Aunt Betty lived
wow.
with the kids or, you know, Aunt B on... Andy Griffith show, you know, where people could
feel
a sense of
family. That's my favorite show.
And some of the people have never had a sense of family. They grew up in foster care homes or group homes or whatever. They've never known this experience. I mean, some of them are, you know, well into their years. Some of them never had any children and have some regrets about that. And now they're living with children that are calling them grandma.
Aww.
Or grandpa, or auntie, or nana, or, you know, I mean, it's incredible because they come to life, these adults that are elderly or older, and the children have somebody special in their life as well.
How, you know, how did you guys think of such a wonderful idea? Because most of those type, you would think it's so, it'd be like all children over here, adults over here, this side, you know, this people over here. What an awesome idea to put them together like that
and
make it be a community, like a working family.
In government-funded foster care homes, the children are not only grouped by age, they're grouped by sex. And so it doesn't even have a resemblance of a family. If everybody in the family is a boy from 6 to 9, and you have shift workers working, you know, 8-hour shifts, and then that shift gets off and the next shift comes on. I mean, we have house parents, and they're called house parents because they fill the role of a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Even for some of the older kids and some of the adults, they've never lived in a home where there was a parent.
Yeah, I mean, That is just, oh my goodness, that is so beautiful.
But it works. It's what works.
And that, you know,
and we could solve a lot of problems in foster care with this solution.
I used to live when I first separated from my husband, when my journey began of all this stuff, I lived with a foster care mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she was incredible. I mean, she was like the best. She'd win the award for foster care mom. I mean, she did win some awards. But so I have seen firsthand what happens about the children that get, you know, their parents get picked up for drugs, and they're these little kids are just taken. They're just taken.
Right.
You know, away.
And like sacks of potatoes move from one place to the next.
Put somewhere. And how do you, I mean, and, oh my gosh, I've, you know.
See, our people can stay as long as they need to be there to heal from their past. So some people, like the lady who's 101, I don't really see her moving on. She doesn't want to move. Another lady that we got, she was 68, and her stepchildren had seized her home and basically put her out. And it was like the reverse stepchildren story. This was just horrible. Anyway, so she ended up being homeless. She was a neat little old lady we saw walking down the street. And we picked her up and found out her story. Well, actually, somebody had brought her from out in the desert into town so she could get services. And she thought, oh, yeah, I have money in the bank, but I can't get it because my stepchildren kept my purse and has ID, and nobody will let me go into the bank. They won't listen to me that I'm who I am. And you can't get ID if you don't have some kind of paperwork that says you're who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a crazy spiraling down, and she's the neatest woman. You would just love her. So when she did get her Social Security reinstated and everything, I was jumping for joy, and I said, oh, now you can get another place and all that. And she was like, she started crying. And I said, oh, I'm so happy I could cry too. She said, you're going to make me leave?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, you mean you want to stay? She's like, this is my family. So, you know, that's why we have to keep getting more homes. Because there just isn't enough. So because some people donated stock, and because one couple donated two houses to us, we were able to go. Last year at this time, we had two homes. We were in the process of purchasing a big center, and an arsonist burned it down.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, it was really horrible. Horrible time. But from that and the media coverage that we had, we were able to purchase our third home. And now we have seven, and that just happened because people gave us homes that they weren't using or their parent had passed away, and they thought, well, this would be a good way to make use of it.
Libby, I think I'm hearing a noise that it might be a caller.
Okay.
And if it's
great.
A caller, let's go ahead and let that caller come on.
Great.
Hi. Hello.
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 Hi. I love the work that you're talking about. You do. I really do feel it's great. It's refreshing, too, because it sounds like it's empowering people.
We don't believe in just giving a handout. And let me tell you that after being in university all the years that I went, it doesn't compare to what I've learned from the people that have been part of my life through homelessness.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I'm so excited about the work you do, and I wanted to find out if you don't know of any places like that where you live, like where I live, where I just moved to, what could one do to kind of start to initiate some of the same type of locations where I live? Like, I live in Georgia.
Georgia? What part?
I live in Northeast. It's 20 miles away from Atlanta. It's called North Ross.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Well, I went to a huge conference in Atlanta that was about CCDA, Community and Development, and it was they bring a group of people together that all want to make a difference. Really empowering. And
yes.
There are a lot of things in that area that are, you know, a lot of organizations and a lot of growth in Atlanta even that, you know, have outreach to the poor.
Uh-huh.
And if there's nothing in your hometown,
uh-huh.
do like I do. Just start something, and you'll, if you pray, God will answer your prayers, and it'll grow. What we started doing, my husband and I in Los Angeles, we started taking in kids not through the government foster care system. We found all kinds of kids. You open up your heart, they'll find you.
And I was going to say that what I did was this last week, and I prayed that I needed to find, because I do this stuff, and there's got to be other people that I'm doing this too. I mean, that are trying to help people, you know. And so that is how I got. I was told by my police friend Charlie to go to. I talked to this lady Amy, and then next thing I know, I'm in the media outreach, you know, for drug alcohol abuse for teenagers and kids. And then I was invited to the other meeting, which is where I met Libby. But see, that's what I'm. This is where you find them. If you can go to those, right, Libby? Like that meeting is filled with people that are helping people, and their groups. They're already formed.
Right.
So you can kind of get some info from them.
Right. Every area has Gospel Rescue Mission. A lot of them have Salvation Army has some groups. I mean, if you just look under social services, and if you don't see anything, then that means you're it.
Okay.
And just get started. And if you know, you know, the police certainly know which children are being affected by domestic violence, the ones that they've gotten the calls on, you know, and then there's councils on aging all across the United States. Every area has an area agency for aging. So just
Libby, could you be a person like when you come on the show regularly, could you be a person that like the caller, you know, somebody that they could kind of bounce, you know, can kind of talk to?
I would love for you to call me even. You know, we can talk about this further. I can send you lots of ideas. Go to our website, you'll see. I mean, everything started out of need. I never even thought about single fathers. But once I said, okay, I'll take this one, then there were five more within 2 weeks.
Oh, great.
You know, right away. So you just have to kind of carve a path.
Uh-huh.
If you're not afraid and you just do it, because that's what God called you to do, God's work done God's way will never lack God's provision.
See, and that's what I know, because, see, that's what I was asking. Anybody that gets touched by this, the call, and you called, you see. And so that is the sign that there's something in you that you're supposed to do in your life, you know, something different. And me, I just go out, and I get these ideas, and I'm just like, okay, that's what, I'll do that. And it works. It's amazing. But you just go out and you just ask, and people will come to you. If it's in good God, if it's God's work, they'll come to you.
Okay.
And you can start things. And Libby, I thank you so much for being on this program with us. And let's give your number out to, what is your name again?
My name is Cassie.
Cassie?
Cassie, C-A-S-S-I-E.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, thank you for calling. And you know, that's what I just want to, I want to hear from the people, because I'm serious about this. I'm so glad you called, because I want to know people are hearing these people, and it makes my heart just sing knowing that you called and you were touched by this. I just want to cry.
I wanted to also say that right now there's a crisis for where do kids eat when school's out? If they're getting free and reduced lunch and breakfast when school is in session, because they qualify, because they're below a poverty level that is so low it's impossible to live on, where do they go and eat? Where do they go and eat on the weekend? Where do they go to eat when school is out for any reason, including the summer? So you may want to just start there.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a whole bunch of kids that get free and reduced lunch, which any school district can give you that information. In our area, 96% of the children get free and reduced lunch and breakfast, and we're not in the poor section of Tucson.
Yeah.
So if it's just like in a regular kind of section, you can imagine how it is nationwide.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might just start with that.
It's good to start maybe in one area that's special, that she feels her heart is drawn to, say if it's the children. Start with that.
Yes.
And then see how, you know, I mean, how can you, how can you not want to help the little children? I mean, these children, I had no idea that there was that many homeless children.
I mean, why should there be hungry children in this country? It's crazy. We're paying farmers not to farm. You know, just give the food to the poor.
Yeah, there needs to be some changes. There really does. And I'm going to give out your number again for her and for everyone else, okay? It's 520-320-5437. 520-320-5437. And it's givingtreeoutreach.org.
Yeah.
Right?
They also can type in the Giving Tree and Tucson, and you'll see all the newspaper articles. You'll see Travel with Stephanie Abrams is the nationwide show that she gives us free travel for the children. We take them sometimes out of the country, sometimes out of the state, and everything is donated by wonderful people. We don't just stay in five-star hotels. We stay in five-diamond hotels. So when we take these kids, we take them out of extreme poverty and expose them to culture and education opportunities they'd never have in their lifetime. We went to Ireland, if you can imagine that, going from a homeless shelter to Ireland.
That's wonderful. We have like 3 minutes left, so I want to say something. I'm going to put out a prayer. I'm going to put out an intent that we have a really I want a lot of people to listen and hear this. I'm praying for that. That you give her a call to make other outreach things in your communities, and also to, if there's anything you have, you could donate a house, more money to feed these babies.
Take your money out of the stock market, which is sinking, and invest it in the lives of children, and you'll see immediate return.
Yeah. Well, I thank you so much, Libby, and thank you, caller. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And
please call me. I will come to Georgia.
And I want to say next week we have an incredible guy that's been on before, Larry Martin, and he's the most incredible astrologer reader. I mean, he's got many shows he does, and last time he was a huge hit, and he's a wonderful man. So tune into that, and you call in on, and he can give you free charts, your birth, you know, all you need, your birthday and time, and this man. And he's worked on me, and I'm telling you, he has changed my life and opened up a lot of things that helped me to succeed again. Anyway, that's next week. We're going to close with one of my songs, and also you can always hear any of my songs because I'm about to do an inspirational music tour of sorts for exactly this, for reaching out about awareness, for mental health, for abuse for women, and et cetera, et cetera. That's what I'm planning on doing. So, Libby, I want to thank you so much and I hope you'll come back and talk with us.
It would be my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless everybody.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Team CST says good night.
Good night. Thanks a lot.
that's going to give.